Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley. We'll kick things off in the Premier League, and what a result for Arsenal at Stamford Bridge as they took all 3 points back with them to North London after beating Thomas Tuchel's side by 4-2. I tell you what, this is end-to-end stuff. Some comical defending from both sides. In the end, Arsenal getting the job done, and boy, does that increase their hopes of qualifying for the Champions League. You take a look at it now, they are level on points with Spurs in fourth. Well, for more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Mario Malkios with us, as is Luis Garcia and Shaka Hislop. Before I get to you guys, Craig, yesterday's show, everyone was like, oh, I don't see how Arsenal are going to get anything from this game.
No.
Yes? Sat there, Stevie sat there. Well, everyone else was on.
Go back and check. I said 4-2 Arsenal.
You did.
I never saw this coming because I thought Chelsea, after being really poor at home, as I mentioned, to Real Madrid, which was a little bit embarrassing, played, got their mojo back, smashed Southampton, yep. Played really well in Madrid, were super comfortable against Palace, and you thought, OK, look as if they're going to finish the season strong. And then this just popped out of nowhere. Defensively, it was poor. They gave the ball away a lot. Obviously, Lukaku got some game time, got taken off.
Did he play?
didn't really work for him. Timo Werner's looking lively, but just too many mistakes. Christensen, obviously, with the first one, was a bad mistake. That set the tone for the evening. You could hear a few groans around the ground as well. And Arsenal actually played quite well. They went to a back three, changed their shape because of their injuries to two fullbacks, no Thomas Partey. And the youngsters for them going forward look really good. I didn't see this Arsenal performance coming. I thought it was going to be four defeats in a row. But fair play to them. They've turned up and I think deserved the 3 points.
Yeah, they deserved it, Shaq.
They did. I'm with Craig. I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming in the opening, 10 minutes and up until the Nketiah goal, the opening goal. I thought Chelsea were all over Arsenal. And then all of a sudden, that goal out of nothing, thanks to Christensen error. And then it really was a question of whose defence was going to be worse. Arsenal sat in, they soaked pressure up. And every single time they crossed the half line, Chelsea looked like they were vulnerable. And it's amazing to think that this is the same Chelsea side that we were talking about how good they were defensively, how stingy they were. Yet every time Arsenal crossed the half line, you were worried. And in the end, you have to say, but for that opening, 8-10 minutes, Arsenal were the better of the two teams.
Mario, Chelsea were defending like you were back playing for them. What was going on?
Yeah, I definitely felt like I was playing again. No, I could see, you know, like, I don't understand sometimes when you don't play really long as a player, and then you make them start in games like this. I've been through it myself. I'm sure some of the lads, they've been through it too. But Lukaku comes on in this game. He didn't play a lot of games, and he makes him start the full game. I know, like, everybody's talking about him and that he has to get more game time. They've spent a lot of money on him. But still, when there is a game at this stature, and this is a big derby in London, you expect a little bit more cleverness of Tuchel in the sense of like knowing when you play him and when you let him come on. And I felt like he should. And Christensen, he's another one. You understand? It's just too heavy to take on for them. And that's why I felt like they got really big surprise. And like Craig said, Christensen, the crowd turned on him.
Yeah, Luis, it is interesting that Kai Havertz, of course, was introduced on the hour mark. You think of a game of this magnitude, obviously at Arsenal, a big rival in North London, that you would think that Lukaku would be better coming off the bench or not at all, considering what we haven't seen from him this season.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, guys, but at the moment, when you have a team that you need to rotate because you want to give it some minutes, it's true that Arsenal didn't come from a good round of games, and you want to give a chance, you think, okay, listen, I'm going to put it in this one because I think he's got a chance to shine, to create chances, why not, to maybe score a goal. We've seen that Arsenal is a team that is also vulnerable at the back. So I understand why Tuchel make that change and try to use him. It's true that when he's not working, he straight away makes a change. I mean, he's not a manager who is saying, okay, I'm going to give you a chance, you're going to stay there for 90 minutes. And the moment that he realized that, listen, you have more than enough to show me that you want, because I think that the problem is that Lukaku needs to play for more than one game at certain point. You need 3, 4, 5 games to kind of get the best of this player. And if you're gonna, you think that you're gonna use him for 60 minutes, and you're gonna, he's gonna give you 120% and 20 runs and maybe 2 chances of scoring a goal, that's not Lukaku. You need, he's a player, he's a big player, he's a top player. He's heavy. He needs to get his rhythm. And when he's been out of the game for quite a long time, it's not going to be enough to just throw in there for 60 minutes. But I understand that he put it today because Arsenal is not the best team in defence at the moment.
Unless you know he's going to get you a couple of goals, there's no, not much good going to come out of playing Romelu Lukaku at the moment at home. Because there's a clear discord there between the manager, him and the fans. If you heard the fans in the first half, it wasn't bad booing or whatever, but there was groaning when he didn't make a move, when he didn't challenge physically for a ball, when it looked a bit half-hearted. And this all stems from the scenario about him not wanting to be there or whatever it is back in, at Christmas time. And therefore, I think if there is an opportunity to play him, and I'm not sure there really needs to be, it's probably better at one of the weaker teams away from home. Because clearly when the Chelsea fans see his name on the team sheet, it's like, well, he doesn't want to be here.
Right.
And he's playing like a player that doesn't want to be here. He's playing like a player who hasn't played much. He's playing like a player who doesn't have much confidence. And so, in that sense, it was a big risk for Tuchel to play him in terms of getting a result in this game. It's got no real bearing on what happens in the top four. They should finish third. They're not going to finish any higher. They shouldn't finish any lower. But to be quite frank with you, it matters not a jot apart from the atmosphere. He's not going to, if Thomas Tuchel is there next year, Romelu Lukaku will either be out the door or will be replaced, depending on the ownership change, with another striker. Thomas Tuchel knows he needs to do that, if indeed he is still the manager next year when everything changes. But it just feels that we're filling time to the end of the season with this particular player. And today it clearly didn't work out.
Big picture, this is a big bonus for Arsenal. When they looked at their fixtures between now and the end of the season, going to Stamford Bridge isn't one that they would have marked down going, look, we can take 3 points from this and this is going to help us finish in the Champions League spot. They are now level on points with Spurs. Those two teams meet on May the 12th, I believe it is. Spurs are still favourites, though, to finish in the top four. United, of course, still in the conversation as well. Well, statistically they are, although given what we saw yesterday, I think you'd be a brave man to back them to finish in a Champions League place. Having said all of that, Shaka, who's your money on?
Still on Spurs. They have the easier of the two run-ins. You mentioned United, but I'm with you. I don't think they're in the conversation, really. But Spurs have the easier run-in. And I, given what we've seen from Arsenal coming up to this one, the losses to, who was it, Brighton, Palace and Southampton, this result came out of the blue. And I just wonder who else is going to pose that kind of threat that allows Arsenal to sit deep and break and hit you on the counter-attack. I don't think that there's many between now and the end of the season. Spurs, in good form, I think they're the ones who sneak in at fourth.
Who you got, Mario?
I got Spurs, man. I feel like, just like Sarah said, Spurs for me is also the coach. I think when it comes to a crucial moment like this, it's not only down to the players, it's also the man that leads the team. And the leader of the team, the players has to be able to stand in front of someone that they can listen to. When you look at Arsenal, look, up to this game, really today, I was really impressed. Because normally, you know, we always question their character, the young boys, the level and everything. But today they showed everything of that. Now moving forward, I think Spurs, they've been in that situation. He's there. He changed a lot of things. He put a lot of character. Tactically, they're much better. And if you hear Song talk, the way he spoke about it a couple of days ago, he said that how tactically they're training so hard now. And he says everybody understands what they have to do. And I think there's a lot of questions with a lot of teams that don't always know what to do. So I go for Spurs because they know.
Mr. Garcia?
Yeah, I go for Spurs too. I think Conte knows what he has to do at the moment. That Italian mentality is going to help him to arrive to the last part of the season with better chances. They're going to face Arsenal in May the 12th, I think it is. And even though that's going to be, of course, a key game, I think that both of the teams are going to continue dropping points. But seeing Arsenal just being so vulnerable, so inconsistent, it shows me that even though today we saw a fantastic Arsenal, very, very strong, very active, with a lot of intensity up front, with those young players that you know that they are really, really unpredictable. They are both, they are fearless, so you can see that they go forward without being scared of having the ball or try things. But at the back, and the moment that they are building up, they make so many mistakes, and that's going to punish them from here to the last part of the season. So I think the Spurs, because of the that experience that he's got on the manager and also on the players on the field, I think they're going to get that for position.
Our Tottenham supporting producer just said in my ear, Spurs are doomed, considering everyone has now picked them.
Well, Mike's glasses always have full. Don't even ask me.
No, why not?
Do you know what I said 2 days ago? 3 days ago?
You said United, didn't you?
Oh, Man United! Until I saw them. No, well, listen, my point was, before we saw another humiliating performance and defeat,
yeah,
with the money they spent and have spent in the last couple of years and the summer and the squad of players that was assembled, and then you look at Tottenham and Arsenal and the problems they've had, then it should be Man United. It shouldn't even be close. But they're so bad. So I did say Man United. Right. However, since the Liverpool game, I've changed that.
And who are you going for now?
Have we got the Liverpool? Have we got the Tottenham fixtures up?
No.
And a graphic?
No, we don't. Mike doesn't want to tempt fate.
I'll still go for Arsenal.
Are you going to give us any reason just to shut us up?
Well, it's between Arsenal and Tottenham, I would imagine. Bear in mind, Arsenal play Man United very soon. Could definitely quash any small hope that they have. But let's be honest, it's neither the two of them or three of them are great sides.
Just a reminder, an ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Manchester City went to the top of the Premier League table with a 3-0 victory over Brighton. All three goals coming in the second half. They were made to sweat a bit further victory, but what that means is that after Liverpool's win yesterday, it is a short stay for them at the top of the table. City back at the top of the Prem. Craig, job done. We go another round.
Well, it was interesting. First thing I did, look at the team sheet, is De Bruyne playing? Because he's had a little bit of a rest, and he was, so that was huge for them. We had all these games on, watching. Very difficult job, this, you know.
We're really hard.
And the room. So the City game was kind of in the corner, but it did look a frustrating period to start with. And then you always felt once they got the first goal, they were going to go from there. Brighton had some decent possession, never really caused too many problems. They clearly had to get the job done after Liverpool's result and performance. And City did, but I don't think this was ever going to be one of their toughest assignments out of all the games that have still to come.
Oh, no, Brighton, potential banana skin.
Yeah, they haven't been playing so well recently, though, to be honest with you.
Didn't they just beat Arsenal at the weekend?
Everybody was beating Arsenal.
They beat Tottenham, sorry.
Everybody was beating
Arsenal. Right, OK.
I just didn't feel... No.
No?
I felt they were always going to get the job done. Brighton have fallen away a little bit. towards the end of the season, up until the weekend there.
This really is going to be a title race for the ages, isn't it? No one is blinking at the moment, Luis. A big performance from Liverpool yesterday, of course. Manchester City, though, get the 3 points today. How are you feeling with your Liverpool specs on?
Actually, we had some hopes for the first maybe 45 minutes that today they were going to drop maybe a point. Maybe why not? Maybe go get that draw and drop those 2 points and allow them Liverpool to stay at the top of the table. But it was about Manchester City to do the job. And we all know this kind of games. It's like Real Madrid. They start struggling a little bit in the beginning, a little bit of opposition, and at the end, they do the job. And it's true that I was checking a little bit the games that they're going to face, and they don't have much in front. So they go West Ham, Watford, Newcastle, Leeds. Yeah, in Premier League, anything can happen. And of course, every team is very competitive, but this Manchester City is in a cruise mode at the moment. And it's got very difficult that they drop points. And you see Liverpool side is a bit worse with Chelsea, with Tottenham in between. I think that even though that I think that they are going to win every single game, because the moment that they are having is just fantastic, it's a joy to watch. I think that is not going to be enough, because I think that Manchester City is going to win also every single game of them. So we'll have to wait until the end to see and hope that they can drop points, Manchester City. Hopefully we can see Liverpool once again lifting that trophy, but definitely it's going to be very difficult to see.
Mario, from a neutral's point of view, this is brilliant, isn't it? It's exactly what we want.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you watch the Premier League, this is what you want. You don't want anybody to walk away with it and it becomes that easy. When you clearly two of the best managers at the moment running this, and also the teams. But if you just see how they've built their team, like, I mean, you know, with Pep, maybe there is more, you know, the highlights or the finance. But when you look at Liverpool's, the way they built the team and the way they got their recruitment and everything going, look at Diaz, how he slots in the team. It looks like he's been there every year. So just going forward, like, I feel like when I look at a Liverpool side, I always hang more to the Liverpool side. Well, I'm a neutral. Why? Because I'm just a big fan of Klopp. I love the character. I love the way he's building his team. When I look at City, I mean, I come from that upbringing, you know, like coming from Ajax. I don't want to say it's identical the same, but it definitely has some of it, the way they play football and the way they think about it. But I love that character, so I'm going for Liverpool.
Luis, I'm intrigued. Looking at Manchester City against Real Madrid, Manchester City are favourites going into that two-legged semi-final. With your Barcelona Athletic ways and with your Liverpool ways, who do you want to win this?
You have doubts, still having doubts. The thing is that every single time that I said that Real Madrid was not going to make it, they go through. Right. So I probably am going to say that Real Madrid's favorite, because definitely every single time just happened. They just know how to manage the situation. They just know how to deal with every moment. They got so much experience. The background is always there. And when they play the second game at the Bernabeu, they always pull out a fantastic performance. And we've seen against Paris Saint-Germain. We've seen them against Chelsea. And now that they go Manchester City, even though that I think that Manchester City has got more than enough, more arguments, a better squad, a better rotation, and they are in a fantastic moment, even though the season is ending. And Real Madrid, you can see that he's rotating and some of the players are tired. We've seen Kroos, Modric having a tough time in some of the games. I think that Real Madrid is going to be ready to beat this Manchester City. Oh. Everybody's saying no. Everybody's saying that no City is good enough. But again, I don't want to bet against Real Madrid, because they always do the job.
Yeah, first leg, of course, next week. Mario, who you got?
I go for City. You know, like, I understand what he's saying. I totally agree with what he's saying. But it might be the moment that Real peaked too early. And I saw at Chelsea now, I think they peaked so high against Real that they couldn't produce the good stuff against Arsenal. And that's why I think that was like physical, you know, the level of the way they had to perform, the way they wanted to play. It didn't come out today. And I think when I look at Real, the only thing why I would back Real, because I always, you know, love watching them, but history always repeats. So they always try to sneak something out. But I feel like, hey, Pep, you got all the pressure. It should be your time now.
It's going to have to play better, though, than they did in the two Atleti games.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's a difficult animal, and I know things got ugly at the Etihad at the end, and things got really ugly in Madrid at the end. But City, how many times do you watch City with all that possession, both in the first game, but particularly the second game, and don't think they're going to score?
Yeah.
I mean, Gundogan hit the post, but that was about it. I just never felt City were going to score. And maybe it was just a mental thing that they got put off the stride. They knew the tactics they were going to be facing against. Some of the skullduggery and the challenges and all the things that go on. They're not going to get anywhere near as much as that against Real Madrid. It's going to be more of a football game. But still, if they play 180 minutes like that, then Real Madrid will probably beat them. But if a really sharp City turns up, you know my feeling on Real Madrid. This team, it plays a good 90 minutes, but it struggles to put 180 yeah. against quality opposition. And it got away with it against Chelsea, because it was great at Stamford Bridge, not so much at the Bernabeu. I don't think they will get away with that against Manchester City.
As always, you can check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel. Mario and Shaq are back with me today, along with Craig.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
I want to focus now on what happened in the relegation scrap in the Premier League and a huge late goal for Everton. They're at home against Leicester, but Richarlison late on in this match managed to get an equaliser that puts them 4 points clear of Burnley now. Goodison Park absolutely erupted when this equaliser went in the 92nd minute. Shaka, you were on relegation duty today.
Yeah, I was for some very strange reason. And in the end, it proved more dramatic than I thought. And I'll be honest, I thought a lot of Everton's football was good. Richarlison, though, his striking was poor. He missed an opportunity in both halves of this game that any striker at this level should have tucked away comfortably. And that, though, I think in weeks gone by, would have affected Everton very negatively, but it didn't. And I thought they continued playing, continued pressing. In the end, the goal was in keeping with how Everton were in the opposition box. Rondon totally missed control of ball. Richarlison fluffed at it. It got the deflection and somehow snuck in at the far post, kind of keeping with how poor Everton were in Leicester's box. But their football was a lot better than their fourth bottom in the table would suggest. And I think that alone is encouraging for Frank Lampard.
Well, it's only 4 points between themselves and Burnley, and what they've got to figure out is Burnley have got a manager who knows all about the relegation fight.
Sean
Dyche.
Exactly. Everton should be fine, shouldn't they? Four points is a lot.
Well, it's 4 points.
Yeah.
So winning a draw. I mean, we're stating the obvious here, or what? But, you know, the thing is, it depends what happens beneath them more than what happens. Now, you'll always say as a player and as a team, let's make it about what we do. But having watched this Everton team, yeah, that's the philosophy in the dressing room and in the camp, but it's probably going to be more about what they do. Because they don't look to me as old. Although Shaq said they were better in the game, it doesn't look like they consistently can put two or three wins together. And it might be about the teams below them picking hardly anything up, which saves them. And by the way, Frank Lampard absolutely needs that big time. More important than anything happened at Chelsea, going back into your job and getting relegated would be a disaster for him. So he needs that space to work over the summer. It looks like they're going to get it, but it'll be tight.
A lot more on what happened in the Premier League and elsewhere on the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. That drops on Thursday. Be sure to check that out over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Real Madrid 3 then, Osasuna 1 is how it finishes at Pamplona. Let's take a look then at how it stands after that result. Atleti could only manage a 0-0 draw against Granada earlier on in the day. They are in second and 61 points. Real Madrid 17 points clear at the top of La Liga table.
It's a big lead.
It's a huge lead.
It's a huge lead.
Luis Garcia is with us. They're almost there, Luis.
Yeah, we can say that. Actually, I think that if the next week there are a few results, they even could leave that trophy very early on this competition. Today, once again, it was like an easy game, a normal game for Real Madrid. A little bit of trouble in the first half because of Budimir and Jimmy Avila on that red side. Then, yeah, they have to wait, have a little bit of patience, and the goals will arrive. And, well, that's the performance that we've seen. I think a very good Real Madrid, very intense, with a lot of changes. We've seen Ancelotti rotating finally. He's been asked about that and he hasn't done much until this moment. And now, well, he has the chance of giving a little bit of rest to some of the players. Not many to Benzema. I was surprised, actually, to see him once again in the 11th starter. But he's a top scorer. You know that you need him there. And, well, they are cruising on this La Liga trophy.
Yeah, absolutely cruising. Great night for Ancelotti. I suppose with the exception of Benzema's missed penalties, Greg. As a man who famously, had the chance to score a hat-trick of penalties in the Premier League and mucked it up.
I didn't muck it up.
What did you do?
I may have failed to score the third one. I did score the first two. He didn't score any today. But no, look, as Luis was saying, I think he will have to give him a rest at some point.
Yeah.
He does seem to me a player who just wants to be out there all the time. And that's when a manager has to be strong with your elite players and say, listen, I know you want to bang in the goals every week. I know you want to play. I know you're the star man. But hey, this is wrapped up more or less, and we have a very dangerous Manchester City team that we cannot beat without you. Literally, they need him. So yeah, we talked about it yesterday's show. Who would he rest? Clearly the midfield got a big change, one or two changes at the back, but yeah, Vinicius Junior and Benzema in particular are going to have to get some rest before that Man City game. However, the penalties, he'll just shrug that off.
Yeah, to the point of the penalties in Manchester City, for example. Well, like if a penalty's awarded in the Champions League game,
he's taking it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have any concern if you're Ancelotti?
No, I'd always have concern.
Right.
But I think the problem for Benzema is now is, you know, everybody watches the games, and so he went the same side twice. It's now a game of bluff, as penalties are. If it comes down to real-time penalty or if the games go to penalties after the 180 minutes, who knows? It comes down to a mindset. But he's taken it, and he's taken the penalties then. He's had bigger disappointments than missing a couple of penalties in not a very big game to deal with, and he'll just get over it.
Do you agree, Luis?
Yeah, totally agree. At the end, it is a game. You can see that he wants... At the end, all the players are selfish. And Craig can tell you very well that we all want to play all the single minutes. We all want to have the chance of scoring as many goals as possible. Much more, of course, the striker. For him, yes, missing the penalty, of course, is a big disappointment. But much more, not because of the result today, because it was more or less all done and dusted. But definitely to try to continue scoring to get the trophy at the end of the season of the top scorer of La Liga. I think it's also very important for a striker to feel that, to have that kind of recognition. And of course, Benzema is one more, because there's been, during many years, a lot of talks about why he's not scoring more goals. He's a number nine, why he's not scoring more goals. And this season, finally, he's one of those players going to arrive to the 20-plus, almost 30 goals in La Liga, and he wants more, and he wants to be the top scorer of La Liga. And I think that's fantastic, because he showed that he's going to be an inspiration for a lot of players, because even though he's 34, he continues trying to improve every single week.
I suppose the big question, Greg, is how does this affect his Ballon d'Or chances?
Well, I think it's going to have a huge effect.
So Real Madrid home and hose then as La Liga champions, soon to be crowned. Obviously, Barcelona will want them to put champagne on ice for as long as possible. They are in action tomorrow. They have the chance to move up to second in the table. As I mentioned, Atletico Madrid with that 0-0 draw against Granada earlier today. It will be then Barcelona against Real Sociedad live tomorrow here on ESPN Plus. At 3:30 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. I know you want to see the penalties.
I'm saying nothing.
I know. Be sure to stay tuned. Mario and Shaka are back to answer your questions for extra time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your questions. Craig Burley here in the studio with me. Mario's here, Shaka as well.
That was funny, wasn't it?
Let's get straight on with this, shall we? Craig.
You're ignoring me.
Welcome back.
You're ignoring me.
I'm not ignoring you.
Those penalties.
But people may not have seen the penalties.
But no, it was funny.
It was.
The first challenge for those that did.
That's where he sticks his head down.
Oh. I think.
Craig, welcome back. Have you...
That's the only person in this... Nobody in this company's even said that to me.
Well, welcome back.
Yes.
Well, maybe you should take that as a sign. Have you, in all your life, seen a youngster with better, cooler decision-making than Saka? What's in store for him?
Have I ever in my life seen a youngster with better decision-making than Saka?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you could put Pedri and say...
There's plenty.
Yeah.
He's a good young player. Really good young player, but I've seen and I've played with a lot of young, very good young players as well.
Yep.
So, off the top of my head, I can't remember them all, but there's a lot around who are playing high level football, who are making good judgment calls that guys with 200 and 300 games would make.
Right.
He's one of them, he's a really good talent. Yeah. But I mean, I wouldn't go that far, man.
Mario, how big is the gap between Chelsea and the top two?
I mean, they won the Champions League last season, so I don't think it's. If you look at the Premier League, I think that's probably the biggest highlight you can have. And if you saw the game of like yesterday and what City is producing, I think it's just a couple of plays that you have to adjust. And I don't think they are that far off. But the only thing, winning the league, is that's why they need to adjust a little bit. And there's so much going on in the club, so that's why I feel like they are not far off. But we just have to see what's going to happen next season, because then it might be a whole totally different answer what I'm giving now.
And Mario, we saw Frank Leboeuf at Wembley for Chelsea's win against Crystal Palace. He went into the dressing room and demanded Rudiger's shirt.
Did he?
Yes.
Why?
Because he wanted it. He said, give me your shirt.
Okay.
Did Tony Rudiger go, who are you?
I think he said security. Fabian Barthez is here. What's he doing here? Mario, is that something that you would do as well if you went to watch Chelsea play?
I end up seeing Rudiger in LA, actually, and I asked him for a signature. And then as he wanted to pull it out, and he looked at me and he goes, oh, you're joking. And now he looked at me and he started laughing. He said, I'm so sorry. Nice to meet you. And we had a conversation, you know, but No, I think, yeah, of course. You know, like top players, you always want that jersey. I think Rudiger is definitely one of them players. He's producing some great stuff for Chelsea. And look what is this miss was today. You could see the difference. So, yeah, I understand it. I might not be able to do that, but I understand.
I did actually go in the changing rooms at when Chelsea won the League Cup in 97. I was working for Sky, and I did actually go into the Chelsea dressing room after the game, but I'd only just left 3 or 4 months before.
Right.
So I went down to see my old buddies.
Huh. Yeah.
But I didn't ask for any shirts.
Okay.
Wouldn't go that far.
No,
it's
frank. It's a very frank move, isn't it? It's exactly what you would expect from him.
I'm frank.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming in.
Very frank move, Shaq, would you agree?
Going into a dressing room and asking for a shirt, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, nothing is beyond Frank.
No.
Nothing is beyond
He's
Frank.
He's got no shame, Shaq.
No.
He's got no shame.
Did you know, Shaq, as well, he gave Lukaku a copy of his book?
Really?
No,
oh my God, you guys
are no, but it sounds so true.
To be fair, I only went into the dressing room to see Neil Barnett in the bath with all his clothes on. Because Spy used to get thrown in all the time.
Oh.
He used to come in to interview the players, and they'd launch him in the bath.
Right. Nobody cares about that.
Oh, right.
Who's Neil Barnett?
Don't worry about it, mate.
You don't know who Neil Barnett is?
No.
You don't know who Neil Barnett is?
Is he the Chelsea TV guy?
Spy.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Who cares about that?
Me. I don't care if the viewers care about it or not. Me.
Oh, God.
Hey.
What?
Don't you disrespect that man.
What? Neil Barnett? Why?
Neil.
What's he done for you?
I'm joking.
All right. Craig or Mario, did the Lukaku interview and the fallout after derail their season? Before the interview, Lukaku was scoring goals and was seen as the main man up front. Now it looks like the team would go out of their way to not pass to Lukaku and barely touches the ball. Go on, Mario. What do you think?
No, I don't think passing to him, that won't be the problem. But I definitely think he stirred something on, and he knows that too. I mean, if you're a player and you come out like that, you know that's going to backfire at you. And I always said that, I've been saying this for a while now, that the understanding of Lukaku and Tuchel, there is something in the middle of them too, that either Lukaku doesn't understand or Tuchel is not being clear to him, or either one of them way, because it's not really working really well between them two. And that's why I think sometimes we all been players, you know, the hardest thing and the most evil thing that you can do for yourself is have a battle with your coach and he doesn't know you're having it, because you will never win.
You know my thoughts on it. I wasn't having the worst of seasons until he gave that interview. And then I still, to this day, do not believe. I believe that Chelsea threw gas on the fire.
Right.
When they needed to try and put it out quickly. Now, others disagree, but there's no doubt there's a correlation between that and the reaction and his form and then the coach, because his confidence. And listen, it doesn't matter if you're a £100 million player or a free transfer. When the crowd get on your back and things are not going your way, it affects your performance. And it clearly, whenever you see him play, he's very timid. He's playing like a player worried about the reaction.
Yep.
He's not playing free. And when you're not doing that, you're not going to play to your best.
Shaka, it seems yet again VAR, and by extensions, officials at large, proves that they lack an understanding of the game and the way it's played after that horrendous decision on the Saka penalty. Oh.
What was it?
Yeah, during the show, Craig was talking about it and he thought it was a penalty. I didn't. I thought Saka had a hold of Azpilicueta's arm and kind of helped himself to the ground pretty much. But to that point, seeing it through my eyes, I thought that was poor on every single level. You understand the referee getting conned, but I don't see how VAR has a look at that and doesn't overturn it.
Oh,
yeah. I must have missed that.
Craig made a comment about it, but Craig, you didn't see him holding his arm. Saka was holding his arm, you understand, of Azpilicueta, and Azpilicueta couldn't move because you're in the box. It's like a younger kid tricking an older player. And if you look closely to it, he couldn't do a lot. And I know, I remember something like that happened to me at Stamford Bridge playing against Chelsea, where Frank Lampard pushed me and he had the ball and then they became champions. Not because of that, but it did stir them forward. But he was holding his arm and used it to his advantage. And you cannot see it in the quick moment, but if they slow it down, that's why Azpilicueta was getting so angry. And Farr, yeah, you're sitting in a room, you should be able to see that.
Okay, I stand corrected.
You were wrong? Is that what you're saying?
No, I haven't gotten that far. That's the trouble when I'm watching a game, I'm watching all these games and you're talking.
Those are the excuses.
No, you're talking.
Focused.
Listen, I'll go home tonight and I will pore over the video.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
All right.
Mario, what about the thought of having ex-pros in the VAR booth who can bring that experience? If they rang you up and said, Mario, we want you to move out of LA, come to England, sit in a box and watch some games.
Then I love you, but that moment will not happen. But one thing, I've been in the room. So, you know, like, because sometimes on the Premier League, but I went in the room and they showed it to me where the referee sit and then his right hand man and stuff. But sometimes I just have one question only. I want someone that also understands the game. So when you're saying like you want to play it, it wouldn't mind me because I feel like sometimes they don't have the sense and the feeling of what football really means. And they just give their shout like, oh no, that should happen because they're being protected anyway because you don't see them.
Shaka, post-game, how does a goalkeeper react to his teammates giving...
Shaka, did you see the Ramsdale? What did you think of Ramsdale?
I thought it was unlucky. Listen, when Werner hits this, he's expecting it to come low. He's got two defenders between him and Werner. And then the final deflection takes the ball in this odd kind of loop. And I just don't think he had time to react. And by the time he realized where the ball was, is in. And I just kind of sympathize with him there.
Do you understand corrected to that as
I'm
well?
I'm just watching the Saka thing on a replay here. So I don't believe
you had a go at my glasses. Look at the state of you.
I don't even know why I asked you, Shaka, about that. Do you know what these cost? $4.
Yep, they look it.
I got four.
$3 too much.
Four for four on Amazon, right? Because the dogs keep eating them.
Right, Shaka. Right,
I'm looking at this
back
again.
Back to my original question. What happens when a teammate gives away foolish penalties? Do you leave it or do you talk to them about it?
I generally leave it because they know. Players know when they've done something stupid. I mean, they don't need me to tell them, especially at that moment. That's something that you discuss after. But at the moment, I don't see the benefit of shouting at somebody at that point. I really don't.
Mario, you've done plenty of stupid things on the pitch. What was it like when a goalkeeper shouted at you about it?
No, I love my tongue. I said, hey, I did some crazy stuff, but I probably still do it because I still kick about. But anyway, when a goalkeeper has to go at me at the moment when I know that I messed up, I don't need that. And when I came into the Ajax team, let me tell you, there were some guys that would scream at you, but you sometimes just pretend like you're deaf. That's what you do as a young player.
Who had the easier game, Craig? City today or Liverpool yesterday?
Wow. Now, ordinarily, I would say, obviously, it would have been City, but... That game for Liverpool was... That first 45 minutes was a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Mind you, they made it. Yeah. They played really well, though. But they did play really badly. What was it, 29% possession? One of the worst I've ever had in that kind of game.
Was it?
If not... In the Premier League, I'm going to say Liverpool actually. Liverpool could have won. I'm going to say Liverpool.
Yeah, you took that very seriously. For Mario, what changes do you think Chelsea need to make in the off season?
Oh, they definitely need to some of the players that they have are going. Yeah? You know, like you got to see what's going to happen with Rudiger, Christensen. as Villacueta. You know, that's, I mean, I can call a number of players, but what are the answers going to be to those guys who are leaving? And that is one of the key things. So that's why I feel like they got to look at first, what's the outcome of the club? Who's going to take over? Is the person that's going to take over invest as much as what the owner previous has done? And after that, do on the radar of building, because Chelsea is all about bringing the youth system really up. So do they have anything in the youth to add more to it? Or have their eyes already been falling on certain key players that can add quality to the squad instead of just being a number that's added to the league? Because you don't want that a number added to the team, because it doesn't add anything special to the team.
For Craig, what do you think Fulham needs to do to make sure that they stay up in the Premier League this time? Do you think Mitrovic will be able to replicate his form in the Premier League?
No, not because he's a bad player. We talked about this yesterday briefly. For all the things when you step up to the Premier League, Fulham are not going to dominate games. They've been scoring goals for fun. They're not going to create anywhere near the amount of chances. They're not going to have the possession unless they go and spend big, which they didn't do the last time, so they're unlikely to do again. So Marcus Silva is probably going to have a limited budget, and Mitrovic will have limited supply. Plus, you're playing against the Van Dijks of this world and the Ruben Dias and much better players. It'll be a struggle all over for them again, unless, of course, they spend money. They're losing their little playmaker to Liverpool as well, Carvalho. Liverpool have got him for an absolute snip. So retaining their status in the Premier League again next year is going to be just as hard as it was when Scott Parker was manager, basically.
Final question.
You're laughing.
In which sports
snooker
that have a goalkeeper would Xhaka do the best worst in? Ice hockey, where we've seen him, ice hockey's terrible. Field hockey, lacrosse, handball, or water polo? Wow.
Water polo.
Water polo, best or worst?
Water polo, worst.
Worst, yes.
Water polo, worst.
Worst.
Yeah. There's yeah. no way I'm treading water trying to Norway.
No.
So that's easy.
You don't tread water, you stand in the bottom. You're not.
You don't stand in the bottom, do you?
You do when you're his.
No, you're not standing, you're treading water.
6'3", isn't he? You would be standing.
I'd be out of my depth quickly. Mario, what about handball? I feel like you're our handball expert for some reason.
Handball? No. There are some things that I leave for. Ask Greg that question. You don't need to ask me that, because handball, no. You know, some sports, I leave it for what it is. And some sports, I just pick it up.
Right. Wow, why do you hate handball so much, Mario?
Because I've watched it in Holland so many times and it never impressed me. I played it at school. What do you call it? Here in America, you call it dodgeball. We did that at school. That was a better game to play. But handball, no, that's not for me. No.
No.
Lacrosse is a very popular game, isn't it?
Strange thing to say.
I just thought I'd say that.
Thank you very much for that observation.
Well, it was an observation I've made. In my 8 years in the United States,
lacrosse is,
to me, seems very popular.
It doesn't really happen in the UK, does it? It's not really a thing.
You look like a golfer, Craig.
Back in the UK,
Mario,
don't get me started on golf.
Mario.
Mario, what have you done? He shot 70 this week. It was very exciting.
Okay, I'm going to grab my prank.
Show me footballers that don't golf. Show me footballers that don't, ex-footballers that don't.
Well, Xhaka doesn't golf.
Mario?
That's a lack of
I know how to play a little bit. I'm not great, but I know how to play. Yes.
Listen, how many Dutch golfers are there?
How many Dutch golfers are there?
I'll never play with a Dutch golfer again after playing with Ruud Gullit.
What, after he dropped you for the FA Cup final?
No, it was before he dropped me for the FA Cup final. It was before that. And actually, no, it was after it.
Right.
It was in Hong Kong. Or the middle, I can't remember where it was. He's the slowest golfer in the world. Rude.
Really?
And one of the worst.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, one of the worst.
He hit the ball in the car park from this par 3, went 100 yards left, and then he wanted to analyse how that happened on the tee.
Wow.
And I'll paraphrase. I said, it happened because you're not very good.
Well, there we are.
Now, let's get a move on, otherwise it's going to be a 7-hour round.
Good. Who's the best Dutch golfer in the world, Mario?
I really don't know, because I would not think that I'm the only player I know. You understand that I played with, that you guys are mentioning footballers? was Dwight York. You know why? Because when we were together at Birmingham, he used to go after every training, I would, yeah, Dwight, where are you going? Let's go and have lunch. No, man, I'm playing golf. Okay.
Wow.
And I didn't like it. Like,
maybe
it
was just an excuse, Mario. Maybe he just didn't like you.
No, Dan, it wasn't the excuse because we had a nice place to go, so don't worry about that one.
Shaka, Dwight's your boy.
Yeah, used to be.
Yeah, Dwight plays golf every single opportunity he gets.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what
Mario
I aspire
right.
to.
Well, you do.
I know.
What do you mean aspire to?
Joost van Louten. That's the top Dutch golfer.
Ah, here we go. Well, thank you very much for that.
Joost van, he plays on the European Tour.
Well, thank you very much.
That's okay. It's not Ruud Gullit.
Right. And what about lacrosse?
You might be better than that, Ruud.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching.
Dan, before we go...
Before
we go, can I just say welcome back to Craig?
Yes,
on behalf of everybody at ESPN.
Yeah, you can, on behalf of everybody.
Welcome back, Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Jack, on behalf of everybody at Disney.
Yeah. Yes, everybody in Disney. Haven't you been back for a while?
Well, sort of.
ESPN FC will be back tomorrow without Craig. He's playing golf. What a surprise.
Oh, my God.